Welcome to Healthy Mom, Healthy Baby Tennessee, a podcast brought to you by the Tennessee Initiative for Perinatal Quality Care. TIPQC exists to improve health outcomes for mothers and infants in Tennessee through our quality collaborative that will identify opportunities to optimize maternal and infant outcomes across our state and is funded under a grant contract with the state of Tennessee. The Healthy Mom, Healthy Baby Tennessee podcast is designed for medical professionals and for patients and families across the state. We will focus on all aspects of the perinatal period with special attention to reducing our maternal mortality rate. This podcast is brought to you through a cooperative agreement with the Alliance for Innovation on Maternal Health.
Welcome to the Healthy Mom, Healthy Baby Tennessee podcast, brought to you by the Tennessee Initiative of Perinatal Quality Care. My name is Patty Scott. I am a neonatal nurse practitioner here in the Nashville area, and I'm the Infant Quality Improvement Specialist at TIPQC. Today, we have the honor of talking with one of our NICU families, and she's willing to share her NICU experience. It's my pleasure to introduce Kristen Bird. Her little one, Charlie May, was born at 22 weeks gestation and recently went home after she spent 139 days in the NICU at Centennial Women's and Children's Hospital here in Nashville. Kristen, thank you so much for joining us. We are really looking forward to talking to you.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so honored to be here.
Well, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, my husband and I, Blake, are from the Nashville area. We live in Lebanon. We've been married 5 years. We welcomed our first little one into the world last year. I am now staying home with her. I was a former teacher for several years before I switched to working in HR. But for the time being, it's been easier for me to be at home with her and help her with all of her therapies and things like that. So
tell us a little bit about your pregnancy.
It was seemingly healthy. It was my first pregnancy. I had never had any trouble at the beginning. I was feeling good. I was one of the lucky few to not feel very sick. So that was a blessing. I was very excited. We were also very thankful that we didn't have too much trouble getting pregnant. But around, it was the end of June. We were out of town one weekend. We were on the lake. And I remember just feeling not myself. I remember feeling kind of not sick. I just didn't feel very good. I was very tired. My stomach was hurting. That was Saturday and Sunday. And then Monday, I just felt so sick. And I remember that evening, I was telling my husband, Blake, that I just needed to go to bed early. I just thought it was side effects of being pregnant, just another thing. But then Tuesday morning, it just felt even worse. And I had some spotting, which was not common for me. I know it can be common for some women, but for me, I had not had any. So I just knew it was a red flag. And I called my doctor's office. They suggested I go to triage. So I went to the emergency room. And one of my best friends met me there. We didn't think anything bad because at that point I was only 19 weeks pregnant. And, you know, we just thought it's just something going sideways for a second with my pregnancy. It wasn't anything scary. So my girlfriend met me there and they hooked me up to the heart rate monitor where they found right away there was still a heartbeat. So instantly we were relieved and we thought, okay, we'll be out of here soon. And then they checked my cervix where they found at that point at 19 weeks and 5 days that I was 2 centimeters dilated. So my amniotic fluid was looking good. My water had not broken yet, but I was 2 centimeters dilated. And I will never forget the ER nurse telling me that it was too soon and it was looking like I was going to lose my baby. And I just remember my best friend calling my husband and he rushed there and my mom came and all her family was calling and they'd rushed me up to the high risk unit where I was admitted for, at the time we had no clue how long it would be. And we just it was just such a chaotic day. They thought the worst was coming that day, but thankfully she did not come that day. And I say she, at the time we didn't know her gender. We were waiting to find out the gender until birth. So thankfully she did not come that day. And from there on, as each day went by, it was looking better and better, that we were having a better chance of getting to age of viability, which is most widely accepted as 24 weeks, but thankfully it's centennial, it's 22. And what that means, for those who don't know, is that basically they don't provide medical intervention before age of viability. So if I had been anywhere else, I have no clue what the outcome would have been for us. But the next few weeks went by very slowly. It was a very hard time, but there were a lot of unknowns during that time, how long it would be there. You know, the goal was to get to my due date, which was November 21st. And at this point, I was admitted on July 2nd. So we had a long ways to go. And just knowing I could be there in this room on bed rest for months was hard to think about. But the worse than that was not knowing if I would have to go through labor and delivery for a baby I knew wouldn't make it. And then if she was born and made it through delivery, what would her life look like and the quality of her life? And also, one of the things that was the hardest for me is knowing that women go through this every day with the worst outcomes. And it's just something that's not talked about enough. And it's something that, you know, everyone just assumes that when you make it through the first trimester that you're smooth sailing, and that is absolutely not the case. Mm-hmm. So I'm very thankful that our story turned out the way it did, but I completely understand and I feel for those that it is different. I'm just throwing that in there. I know that's not really part of the question, but
I think you sharing your experience is going to help some moms out there. They're not going to feel like they're the only ones that feel the way they do.
Because
Kristen Bird felt that way too.
Yeah. Yeah.
So everybody likes to know they're not the only person that feels that way.
Right. But thankfully, she waited a few weeks until we got to age of viability. And I remember asking if I could speak with one of the neonatologists. And the time that I had asked was too early, but they told me they thought he wouldn't come visit me until I was closer to age of viability. But that very day, I think I was only 20 weeks pregnant, Dr. Carmo at Centennial came down to see me, and he was so kind. And he just showed us so much love. And, you know, I know looking back that the outcome was not looking good at that time, but he just showed us so much love, and I'll never forget it. But fast forward to 22 weeks and 3 days, my water broke. And about a day and a half later, it was time. I went through contractions for a day and a half. And at 22 weeks and 5 days, at 8:47 a.m., she was born.
So you delivered her at 22 weeks and 5 days at 8:47 in the morning.
And
how was your delivery, Kristen? How was the delivery? Besides, I know it was scary.
It was the scariest moment of my life. And I remember just listening to the heartbeat, just trying to focus on that. And my OB, thankfully, was on that day. So she rushed over to see us, and Dr. Shannon Madison, she is amazing. She cried with me more times than I can count, and she prayed over me. And I remember that morning, she just held my hand and cried and prayed. And she just kept encouraging me and saying everything is going to be okay. And thankfully, it was a very smooth delivery. She came pretty quickly. I struggled delivering the placenta shortly after that, and that is a whole other story where I had to go to surgery. But she came out with great Apgar scores, She had, I think her first one was a 7 or an 8. And yeah, and her next few were, I think, 8s too at 5 and 10 minutes. But my husband went up with her to the NICU. I'm very thankful I got to hold her right after delivery for probably a minute or so, which looking back, I was trying to really be in the moment and live presently. But looking back, I felt so detached, I think. There's just a lot to take in. And
I'm sure.
But I am so thankful I got to hold her, because I didn't get to hold her again for about a month. So I'll never forget that. But then my husband went upstairs with her to the NICU. And after that, they just monitored me for a bit. I started to lose too much blood, so I had to go to surgery where they removed my placenta. So then later that day, it had probably been 8 hours or so before I got to go upstairs and visit her. So that was hard, but it was a blur in the day, but I'm really thankful. It turned out, I know it could have been different.
So what did you think the first time you saw her, Kristen?
It was scary. She was beautiful.
They are beautiful, aren't they? They're in such small little packages of beautiful.
Yes, very, very tiny little packages.
Yes, they are.
But often I hear moms talk about how euphoric delivery can be. And it didn't feel that way for me. It was so scary, but she was so beautiful, just so tiny and wrapped up in her cute little blanket and her her hat is so tiny I could fit it. It was smaller than the palm of my hand.
Well, I think euphoric might be the way they describe deliveries that are more advanced than 22 weeks.
Right.
And you'd already been in the hospital for a few weeks, scared for all that time. So, but she was beautiful the first time you saw her.
So beautiful. And like I said, we didn't know the gender before. And I remember after she was born, I was just crying and I was almost probably hysterical if I had to guess. But I remember Dr. Madison saying, Kristen, do you want to know the gender? And Blake got to say, it's a girl. And it was just so sweet. I knew the whole time it was a girl. I just had this gut feeling. So when I got to hold her, she was just beautiful.
Mm-hmm. So during her, we said at the beginning that she was in the NICU for 139 days. Did she have any difficulties? I mean, every 22-week baby is going to have some difficulties. So do you mind sharing a little bit of Charlie Mae's journey?
Gosh, yes. She did great during that honeymoon phase. The first week, I would say, the first 6 days, she did really well. And it was around day 7. It was the first week mark where she really started to struggle. I'll never forget, I don't know if she extubated herself or what, but I remember her oxygen levels were just dropping. She was so sensitive during care times that anytime she was touched, her oxygen levels would drop. So she really struggled to pick it back up. And it was right around the 7-day mark. Her oxygen just dropped and dropped and dropped all the way down to single digits. And they had to rush me out. And all these doctors and nurses and RTs and everyone just came running. And I just had to go sit in the waiting room, unsure what was going on, if she was okay. And our nurse that day, her name is Katie, she ended up being one of our primaries. She came to the waiting room with a glass of water and tissues. And she just sat with me and hugged me and we just cried together. But she pushed through. The next few days were really hard. We found out she had a grade 4 brain bleed, which is the worst kind. And there were several nights we were getting phone calls in the middle of the night. where they would reserve rooms for us to stay. It was a rough couple of days. We had a conversation with our doctor that week where he explained to us what the outcome was looking to be. And I remember he said, she's just very sick. And he talked about comfort care and if we wanted to let her rest. And I remember he said, you're great parents, no matter what you decide. It's just so heartbreaking that people go through that. But thankfully, I don't know how she did it, but she did it. And we took one day at a time. We celebrated all the little victories. Every care time we would celebrate if she made it through without dropping her oxygen. And it was just a long, long few weeks pushing through that that dark time. But thankfully, after about 2 or 3 weeks, she just started doing so much better. She wasn't as sick, and she started to gain weight, and she was able to take more milk. And before you knew it, we were just taking it day by day, and it didn't feel like it was minute by minute anymore. She just pushed through. And you know, the first part of the NICU journey is a lot of those little wins like that. But the second half of the NICU journey, I know they joke that it's NICU-itis.
That's right.
It feels like you're just waiting for them to grow. And I mean, that is essentially what you're doing. And that was a whole new hard. It went from being terrified every day and unsure what the outcome would be to just having to be patient. And all you want at that time is just to bring them home. And but the second half is when things started to be more, I started to feel a little more sad with everything, not as scared, but more sad. I don't know if I'd say it was depression or anything like that, but it's a really hard time.
I think it's very common for moms to feel the way that you're feeling. You know, I think it's very common. So I know that Charlie May was one of the first babies that was in the chronic lung disease project that Centennial was doing in conjunction with TIPQC. How is her lung function now, Kristen?
She's doing amazing. She actually just graduated from pulmonology this month. So she is no longer on oxygen day or night.
Wow. What a win. That is a win.
It really is. She went home on oxygen and she worked 24/7. And then after, I would say maybe March is when we started to wean her oxygen during the day. And then eventually we were able to wean at night. So she has been doing so much better with that. We're really proud of her.
What's her little personality like?
Oh my gosh, she is so sassy. She is she is very curious too. She loves to be outside. She has a favorite podcast that she loves to listen to. It's a baby podcast where they just talk about different sounds and they label the sounds. She loves to get all over the place. That girl is trying to move. She's not quite crawling yet, but she's really, really close. She's a rolling machine. she's just a really happy girl. She loves to laugh and play.
How sweet. How much does she weigh now?
She is nearing 15 pounds. I don't think I mentioned at the beginning, she was 1 pound when she was born, exactly 455 grams. And now she's close to 15. She was 11 inches long when she was born. And now she is probably close to 25 inches. So she's growing fast.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful. Is she a good eater?
Yes. She is now trying some foods outside of her bottles. She loves everything. I started with vegetables first because I knew if I gave her the good stuff, she wouldn't want the vegetables later. I tried all the vegetables first and she loves them all. I have not had a food that she hasn't liked so far. So we're working our way through the fruits now. But she, feeding was not an easy thing at the beginning. She struggled a bit with eating. She just had really bad reflux and she would struggle to remember to breathe. And so that was a big hurdle. So she has come a long way with the feeding.
Well, she's gained 14 pounds. That's amazing.
Yes, growing girl.
You and Dad need to be proud of that. So I know that you and your family were recently selected as the Middle Tennessee March of Dimes Ambassador Family. What has that experience been like for you, Blake, and Charlie Mae?
It's been so much fun. And I remember Kelly Marshburn, she's the executive director of Middle Tennessee March of Dimes. She jokes that it's the, what does she call it? The largest support group of the year. And it really is. It was, I'll be honest, when I was in the NICU, I had a hard time wanting to meet other parents. I often compare really bad. And I knew that if I got close to other people, I would think in my mind, oh, well, why isn't Charlie doing as well as they are? Or why isn't she responding as well to this treatment as she is? And, or as that baby is? And so being that we did the March of Dimes stuff, I was able to meet so many people who had been through similar journeys. And at that point in our story, I felt like I was ready to be hearing other people's stories and compare journeys. And at the time, I had not in the NICU, I just didn't feel quite ready for that. So it was a lot of fun to meet other families and hear their stories and just...
Yeah, and share your story.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes, too, it's hard to relate to parents who have more of a typical story. So it's been really nice to have families that have similar stories as we do.
As healthcare providers, we can learn so much from our families. We try very hard to put ourselves in their shoes, but unless you've really been in those shoes, you don't know exactly what it's like. So what are you willing to share with us that we did well or that we could do better? Because that's so important to anybody that works in healthcare. We want to do the best we can, especially those of us in the NICU.
I have no bad experiences at Centennial. Everyone there was just so kind to our family. And there was not one day that went by that we didn't feel loved. And I feel like the biggest thing for me as an emotional person was having all of those people who just let you cry to them. And they would just hold me while I cried. They saw me and Blake at our worst, and they just never stopped showing us love. And I made some of the best friends there, and especially our primary nurses, Marilyn and Katie. They will be in our lives forever. And they just became such good friends. And even the therapists and nurses who didn't care for Charlie would just come and say hi every day. And that it gave it a sense of normalcy to feel like you had friends that, you know, you're just chatting with and not just having to just sit there in silence and hearing all these beeping monitors. And the other thing I would say, too, is how well everyone did talking to me as a mom. And, you know, like if a doctor or a nurse practitioner came over and they would direct the conversation to me and tell me in terms that I could understand. And not talking to the nurses where they would relay the information to me. I always really appreciated how they would kind of look me in the eye and explain things to me first about what next steps were and things like that. So I had no bad experiences there. Everyone there was just so wonderful.
But that's good for us to be cognizant that if mom and dad are present at the bedside, to make sure that our conversation is first directed to them. That's a great pearl to share with us. We appreciate it. I know that especially those first few days, you did have to hear some bad news. Is there any information, any pearls that you could share with us about best ways to deliver bad news, if that's even possible? Is there a way to do that that maybe we could learn from that, from your experience?
It's hard because I don't think there's any way that anyone wants to hear that information. But Dr. Palmer is the one that had that conversation with us, and he, I think, presented it very well. He stated the facts, but then also made us feel, like I said, that, you know, whatever, no matter what we decide, it's okay. All she knows is love. So I would just say reminding parents of that is, I think, the best thing that you could do, is just telling them it's okay. No matter what happens, this baby only knows love. You're not wrong for whatever you decide.
Mm-hmm. And I love what you said a few minutes ago about when the NEOs were talking to you, they used language that you understood. I think that's a very key point. I think that's very key. Kristen, do you have any advice for moms and dads whose baby does have chronic lung disease?
I would say to focus on it's hard to do this, but I would say focusing on the little wins. Every little win adds up to be the big win in the end. And just taking it day by day, it's very hard to try not to focus on the negatives, but trying to come up with little goals. Like, is there a ventilator down this much, this many points? Is it, are they handling their care times better this care time? Just little things like that, I would say, kind of make it go by a little bit faster.
It's hope.
Wow. Yes, yes. The little ones, they really add up.
Well, you have shared some wonderful tips for us as healthcare workers to do better with our communication. And I think you've given a lot of hope to other moms out there and dads that are going through this. We really appreciate you sharing your journey and Charlie's journey. We can learn so much from our families. And do you have anything you'd like to share as we close up today?
I think the only thing I would add is that it's okay to accept help during this time. There's so many people that want to help you and show you love, and it's okay to accept it. I know often it's hard to want to accept help, but this is a time where if someone wants to buy you a DoorDash gift card or wants to come trim your bushes, just let them. They want to help you, and it just takes a little bit of that load off. And I just feel like it's easy to focus on the negative, but there's just so much good in people, and it's a good thing to focus on. It makes it much less lonely, I would say.
That is wonderful advice. Thank you so much. Thank you again for sharing your story, Charlie's story. And thanks to everyone for tuning in to another episode of Healthy Mom, Healthy Baby Tennessee.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Healthy Mom, Healthy Baby Tennessee, presented by TIPQC. TIPQC is funded under a grant contract with the state of Tennessee. Healthy Mom, Healthy Baby Tennessee is brought to you through a cooperative agreement with the Alliance for Innovation on Maternal Health. Do you have ideas for a future guest or topic, or even have a question you would like answered on upcoming episodes? Visit www.tipqc.org, that's TIPQC.org, and click on podcast to submit suggestions and questions to our podcast team. Make sure to subscribe to our podcast to be the first to know when new episodes are available, and find us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube to stay in the loop with our active projects and other relevant news relating to perinatal health in Tennessee.